Alrighty, what's up everyone? I decided to go for the 80s gaming room aesthetic in this video. It was the closest thing I could find to a room that I used to spend time in when I was a kid, which was my grandparents' living room. You see, when I was a kid growing up in the early 90s, my family home was a little bit hectic, so I spent the majority of my childhood at my grandparents' home because it just had a better vibe, you know. At my house, my sisters were there, you know, giving me a hard time. My mother was there. She wanted me to do chores. But at my grandparents' house, my grandmother, sorry, spent most of her time in like the little parlor room, like the sunroom, just smoking cigarettes. And my grandfather spent most of the time outside in the garden. So I just like chilled in the living room, which I had pretty much converted into my own personal gaming room at that point, you know. But anyway, so occasionally I would go into like the parlor and chat to my grandmother. She had one of those like old lady chairs that was like very comfortable but very old, and she would just sit there. She never watched TV, she never listened to the radio. She mostly just sat there and smoked cigarettes and stared out the window, basically. That's the majority of my childhood memories of my grandmother, is her just sitting and smoking and staring out the window. But anyway, occasionally I would go into the parlor and chat to her. And I remember she would always say to me, she'd be like, "You know what, JB," because that's what she used to call me when I was a kid, JB, because my middle initial starts with a B. She'd be like, "JB, my biggest regret is that I didn't get my driver's license. You know, I lived a long life, but I never got my driver's license, you know." And then a few years later, she said to me, "You know what, JB? I really regret not getting my license. For so many years, I did other things. You know, I played golf, I worked a job and did all this stuff, but I never ever got my driver's license." And you know, then a few years later after that, when I was a teenager, and obviously I went over there much less often as a teenager, but when I would go over there, I'd be like, "Oh, you know, how have you been? Blah blah blah." And we would chat, and she's like, "Oh, I heard you're going for your driver's license, JB." And I'd say, "Yes, I am. You know, I'm going for my learner's permit this weekend." And she'd say to me, "Oh, that's great. You know, one of my biggest regrets is that I never got my driver's license when I was younger. And my whole life, okay, right up until I was about 27 when she died, and my whole life, she'd always, you know, she had told me that her biggest regret was not getting her driver's license." And I can even remember one time we were out to dinner, right? It was like a family get together, like with all of the extended family there. And we were out at, you know, some restaurant, and she brought it up then. She's like, "Oh, you know, my biggest regret's not getting my driver's license." And my sister said to her, like, "You know, there's still time, Grandma. Like, you could still go for your driver's license." And of course, "Oh, no, you know, I'm too old now, Jessica. I'm way past that now." And years later, I said to my mother, I said, "When did she first start doing that? Like, when did she first start complaining about having never gotten her driver's license?" And my mother's like, "Oh yeah, she's been doing that since I was young. You know, like since the 1960s, basically, she's been talking about having never gotten her license." And it sort of became a little bit of a meme in our family that I call like Vera's license syndrome. You know that scene from the first Austin Powers movie with the roller coming towards him, and he sticks out his hand like in mockery of like those old movies from the 1930s where like they're screaming at the camera like, "No," but like they've got all the time in the world to stop it from happening. You know, it's like that, but in real life. All right. Fast forward until today, right? So fast forward to last year when I got back from my trip to Southeast Asia. All right, so let me paint you the picture of what's going on. So it's 2024, okay? It's last year. I've arrived back from Thailand, and I want to find what they call like a stopgap job, like a simple job, not a real job, you know, not a career, just something I can do for like a year that's kind of a wage slave job that's simple, that's, you know, no responsibility, just, you know, come in, leave, and then, you know, when the time comes to leave, like for good, just, you know, put down the cloth and be like, "Well, I'm out of here, guys. Thanks for the minimum wage paycheck. It's tied me over nicely for a year. I'm out," right? That's what I was looking for. Well, it turns out, of course, that my old call center job was hiring. Because for those of you who know nothing about call center jobs, they're always, always hiring, right? Like, you know, if you walk into a call center job interview, as long as you can chew bubblegum and walk at the same time, you will get the job, right? The only thing I've seen that, you know, will knock people back is a criminal history check failing, right? Like they fail their criminal, they've got some sort of conviction, especially for dishonesty, that can knock people back. But in pretty much all other scenarios, literally anyone would get hired in the call center. I remember there'd be people that would show up who were just totally unemployable. You know, they were flakes. They would just show up twice a week and they wouldn't do any work and they had obvious personality disorders and whatnot and everything. And, you know, those kinds of people. There was this one lady who, I was her team leader, actually. She was so heavily medicated that she would fall asleep on the phone. She was an outbound agent. So she'd be like, hi, you know, I'm calling from blah, blah, blah. And, blah, 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 blah. Yes. You know, like, looking back on it now, it's actually pretty funny. Well, it was pretty funny at the time, but I suppose it wasn't funny when of the 15 complaints that our department would get, like 12 of them would be from this woman because she would lose her cool at the customers. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I used to joke during this time that, you know, the kangaroos that we would see hopping around in like the nearby fields and parks, like they better be careful not to get too close to the call center because the managers will abduct them and put them on the phones, you know. But anyway, like I was saying, you know, fast forward until 2025, and I'm back in the old call center building. Now, the last time I worked there, I started off as an outbound agent, and then I got promoted to like a floor walker, and then eventually a team leader, and then I sort of demoted myself back to floor walking. But you know, last time I was there, I had a good setup. But this time, I'm on the inbound line, because whatever the opposite of lucking out is, okay, I struck out. And when I arrived back, the only job they had available for me that they were hiring for was like the tech support for a highly technical product that this company has. And, you know, every phone call is about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. And it's, you know, walking people kicking and screaming through like the technical elements of our product. And a lot of these people are boomers, and it's like, oh man, you know, it's rough. Half the time, luckily I'm only there for 6 hours, and because I do the late shift, the line dies very early on. So I'm only doing about 4 hours of actual calls, but it's a rough 4 hours, man. This is why I'll never give career advice on this channel, you know. This is why I'm never going to go full Coach Red Pill and, like, you know, give you guys career advice, because I'm not exactly in a position to be giving it out right now. I mean, you know, it's all in good fun because, you know, I chose this and it's only for a few more months or even just a couple more months. My rough cut plan is either July 1st or maybe September 1st, depending on how my affairs go before I take off, and this time for good, but that's neither here nor there. The point is I'm back working in the call center environment, right? And I'm speaking to people about a highly technical product. Now, the age range that we speak to is anywhere from very young people through to like people that are like, you know, 70, 80 years old. But there's a lot of kind of like 40 to 60 year olds that call in. Now, obviously, I don't want to, you know, implicate my company in this. So I'll just speak in general terms here. But suffice to say that these phone calls can be very technical. All right. Not too technical, you know, we're just talking about, you know, applications, right? What, you know, downloading our app and then synchronizing it with your security software, you know, that sort of a thing, right? Like not that hard, right? You know, let's say, for example, and again, I won't get into the specifics of what the calls are about, but just in general terms, right? You know, let's say we have four levels of security that you can purchase off us. We'll say, you know, for an annual price of $30, you can purchase level one security. For $60 a year, you can purchase level two. And then say, you know, level 390. And let's say we offer a deal on level four for $100. So just $10 more than level three. All right, so pretty straightforward. Let's say you have an account number with our firm, and you can purchase products on your account. And the most common thing that we sell is these security packages, right? Well, what'll happen, right, is you'll get a call from, I'll give you an example of a young person, right? This is a young person that is not an idiot, okay? They'll call up and they'll be like, you know, hi, I say to them, hi, you know, how can I help? And they're like, yeah, my package, it's not working. And I'm like, great. How much did, you know, what level of security package did you purchase off us? And they'll be like, I don't actually remember now, but I know it costs me $60 per year is what it costs me, according to my bank statement. And you're like, aha, that's level two. Can I get your account number, please? Yeah, sure, it's 91 blah, 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 blah. So, you know, a good call goes like that. They might not remember everything. They might not be the most organized, you know. There might be like a crying baby in the background. But all in all, they're with the program, right? Now, compare that, right? Compare what we just talked about versus the lost boomer that calls in. All right, so you know, the phone call comes through and it's silent. And you're like, hi, you know, you're there. Oh, sorry, the phone was on mute. Hi, yes, who am I speaking with? And I'm like, you're speaking with Jim. What was that, Tim? Jim with a J. Oh, Jay, hello, sorry about that. Yes, Jay, listen, I woke up this morning and I downloaded your product to my computer like the last lady told me to do. And I'm not very good with computers. I'm 67 years old. And, you know, I've got my wife here. Can you speak to my wife? She's better at this than me. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to ask you some security questions to verify your identity. So I'll just speak to you for now. And maybe afterwards you can hand the phone over. Oh, yes. Well, you know, I purchased your package deal and I need some help. And of course I'm like, all right, cool. What package did you buy? You know, what level of security did you purchase? What was that? Which package did you purchase? Did you purchase the level 1, 2, or 3 or the 4? And of course they're like, well, where do I check that? How do I know that? And I, you know, you say to them, well, how much are you being charged per month? Oh, where do I check? Where can I check how much I'm paying you? Where can I find that out? And it's just this merry-go-round of them needing help with everything. And, you know, you direct them to the app to log in. And, oh, it comes back server error 404. What do I do? You know, you direct them to use the desktop version. You say, don't worry about the app. Just go to the desktop version of our website. And then they don't know what you mean by that. All right, what do you mean? I'm supposed to look on my desk. What do you mean desktop? I'm like, all right, go to the Chrome browser on your phone and just search for our company. So what's your web address? I'm like, don't worry about the web address. Just go to Google, okay? You know, where do I find Google? It says here Safari. What does that mean? And it's just, you know, they don't know the difference between a browser, a domain, and a search engine. They don't know the difference between these different terminologies, right? And you're trying to walk them through something that you know is going to be quite technical in a few minutes. And it's just, a lot of these people aren't that old, okay? A lot of these people aren't boomers. They're like young Gen Xers. And the worst guys are the ones who they get their wives to do their dirty work, all right? One of the MGTOWs, I forget which one that was, it might have been Better Bachelor. He had a great term for these guys. He called them house husbands, right? Like a house cat. They're house husbands, all right? The wife wears the pants and she does all of their dirty work. And you'll get a call and like a man's profile will pop up, right? You know, born 1974, but then a woman's voice introduces herself and immediately you know where the call's going. So she introduces herself and she's like, oh, yes, hi, you know, my name's Sally. My husband's in the other room. He can come to the phone if you like, but I tend to do this sort of stuff for him. Yes, you know, he purchased your product, blah, blah, blah. And you can tell that she's been doing his phone calls for him for years. You know, she's got the voice of a receptionist, okay. But, you then explained to her, like, yeah, no, I can talk to you afterwards. I just have to identify that your husband is actually him. So I'm going to need him to, you know, give me his account number and then, you know, verify his security questions. And then you can hand the phone over, right? Or maybe there's, like, something he has to do that it has to be him on the phone. You've got to get his legal declaration to, like, you know, uninstall the product or, you know, to cancel the credit card payments. You have to speak to the owner of the credit card. You know, that sort of thing, right? Sometimes you have to speak to the owner of the product, who's the guy. So, you know, she runs off to, like, you know, the TV room where, you know, you can just imagine this guy, you know, wearing a string vest, weighing 300 pounds, sitting watching, you know, football. You just picture it in your head, right? Like some guy who hasn't shaven in 3 days, you hear him stumble to the phone. Yeah, g'day, Brian speaking. And it's like, hey, Brian. And then, you know, you're given the whole introduction and you say, listen, Brian, I'm going to have to ask you a couple of security questions. You cannot ask your wife the answer, otherwise I'm not allowed to count that as a security question. All right, Brian, can you give me your account number? I don't know, let me ask me missus. Sally! Yeah, what's me account number? Sally! You know, this is what it's actually like with these guys. It's really that bad. Not all of them, okay? Like I said, there's a lot of, you know, perfectly fine phone calls. But yeah, man, there are some phone calls. You know, you get to the end, especially when dealing with one of these house husbands. You get to the end. You get to the end of the call, and you know, you just want to say to some of these guys, like, "Hey, Brian, has anyone ever told you that you're nothing more than a gelded house husband that needs your wife to call customer service because you know you're afraid to? You know, like, you know, you're 40 something years old, and you can't call. You can't make a single phone call during your day, and like." Give your account number without having to have your wife there to hold your hand. Like, what kind of a man are you, Brian? You know, sometimes you want to say that, all right? But there was one call that I got in this vein that really, it kind of was what inspired me to, like, talk about this today. I got this one phone call, and she, you know, it was, of course, it was the wife calling for her husband, and, you know, she said, oh, you know, he doesn't want to come to the phone because, you know, he's not good with technology. And she goes, you know, he refuses to learn. Ha, 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 you know, we'll call him Dean, you know. Oh, you know, that's my Dean. You know, he made a decision when he was young that he's not a computer person and he's never going to learn. And, you know, it's, you know, whenever it comes to his online banking, I do everything. Good old Dean. And I wanted to say to her, I wanted to say to Dean's wife, like, listen, all right. Your husband, your house husband, he suffers from Vera's license syndrome. All right, there's going to come a time when you might not be there for him, you know, to put his pants on for him. All right, there may come a time when your husband is an old lonely man, all right, and, you know, he's waiting for his welfare payment from Centrelink and, you know, hasn't been received yet. And he's sweating it out because he knows that he has to, like, you know, log onto the computer to, you know, check to see what's going on. Okay, because nowadays companies are closing all of their front branches and everything, especially government departments. They're closing, like, their front, you know, their in-person branches, and you have to do everything online. I heard something about in America, one of the phone services is being cut over there, right? The world is going to head more and more in that direction, and these guys are going to get left behind. They're going to suffer from Vera's license syndrome. When they had time when they were young to fix the problem, but they buried their head in the sand, and it's just going to further and further isolate them. So I guess the purpose of this video is to say, whatever you do, don't suffer from Vera's license syndrome, all right? Don't fall behind the rest of the world. I remember years ago I did a video about the movie One Hour Photo. All right, I talked about the 1 hour photo and I talked about the age pill and, you know, falling behind socially, all right, how it's very important not to fall behind socially. But a lot of these boomers today that have fallen behind, there was once a time when they were young and, you know, it's like that quote from The Simpsons, you know, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. And now what I'm with isn't it. And what's it is weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you, to quote a Grandpa Simpson quote. You know, that is so true, man. Like, there's going to come a time when you're suddenly and unexpectedly falling behind the rest of the world a little bit. It's so important to keep up with that stuff, because otherwise you'll get left behind. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it, really. I feel like I've pretty much made my point in this video. And I myself have struggled with this. Like I said, I tend to make videos on topics that I have some authority on because they apply to me in some regards, you know. Like, I don't give career advice because I'm not in a position to do it. But, you know, when it comes to Vera's license syndrome, I can relate to it because I'm not a computer person, you know. I didn't get my first smartphone until 2016. I had what nowadays they would call a dumb phone for all those years prior. I delayed it because I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, it seems silly now. Like, what, you didn't want to learn how to download apps? Well, you know, until you've downloaded one for the first time, no, I didn't. I didn't want to deal with it, right? Like, same thing with crypto. It's looking less likely that we're going to, you know, this whole, like, Web 2.0, Web 3.0, it's kind of looking less and less likely that we're going to, like, have to deal with crypto in the future. But for a little while, it looked as if we were going to have to deal with it. You know, it looked as if we're going to have to, like, you know, crypto is going to be the next big thing. So I forced myself to watch videos on how, like, the blockchain works because I was like, listen, you know, I don't want to fall behind. All right. I'll avoid crypto if I can. But if I have to deal with it, I will deal with it. I will learn. I will get a crypto wallet if I need to get one. If that's what, you know, keeping up with the world is going to be. Now, thank God the world is not shaping up to become one big crypto wallet. You know, thank God NFTs kind of came and went and all that stuff. You know, I saw a video by the YouTube channel Folding Ideas. The title of the video is "The Line Goes Up," and it was so dystopian, man. I remember watching that and just being like, oh no, please don't let it become like this. You know. You know, please don't commodify the internet to such a degree that every single thing is monetized. Like, every single thing becomes like a crypto asset. Like, thank God that's not the way that things are shaping up. Like, you know, I honestly think that Web 3.0 is just like a worse version of the internet that we have now. You know, it's basically the internet that we have now, but every time you click something, there's like some crypto transaction that has to take place. You know, terrible. But the point is, Whatever direction the world moves in, you can huff and puff and say, oh, I'm not going to participate. You know, I'm not going to participate in social media and all this stuff. But eventually the black pill comes to collect. It's like, you know, eventually the world itself comes to collect, man. Like, people can say, well, you know, they can just refuse to learn. They can refuse to adapt. But eventually they're going to get caught out. And I suppose this doesn't apply to the majority of people who watch this channel because it's like 20 to 40-year-olds mostly. So, and I kind of feel like this maybe doesn't apply to most of you, but it certainly applies to some people. It applies to me because I know that I'm the kind of person who just has that tendency to not want to change, to not want to adapt, to want to drag my heels and just do things the old way, the easy way, you know. But you know, I see what it does to my mother's just as bad as my grandmother. Like, you know, my mother, she will get automatically logged out of her Netflix account and will call me to come over and help her log in when the instructions are right there on the screen to log back in. But, you know, her mindset is like, you know, the magic box on the screen is broken. What do I do? And it's a tragedy. And you should never let yourself become like that.
What's me account number? Can't find me account number. Hey, shut up, Roscoe.